Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and today you are listening to What's Brewing. It's a series about ministries that are taking place all over the world for Community of Christ. And today we're going to be talking about Community Circle. And I'm going to let my guests tell you all about what that is. But before they get to do that, I would like to introduce you to Michael Wright and Gail Shirtliff. Hi, Michael. Hi, Gail.
Hey, Carla.
Oh, there you are, Gail. It's so good to have you both here. And before we jump into Community Circle, Gail, why don't you go first? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Gail Shirtliff. I've been a member of Community of Christ since September of 2018. I live in the Netherlands. I've been here in Europe for 20 years. I'm a licensed therapist on the continent here in Europe and in the U.S. as well. And I'm just finishing up a spiritual direction program that I will receive my certificate for in December.
Oh, wow. That is so cool, Gail. That is so cool. A licensed therapist on two continents, and you're finishing up your certificate. That's very, very awesome. Michael, your turn. Tell us about yourself.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Michael Wright, and I reside in Rome, Italy. This has been my home for the last two decades. Actually, next week will be my 22nd year of living in Italy. So I live here with my husband, Antonio, who is a true Roman. In my career life, I'm the director of European programs for Duquesne University. Their home campus is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but I run their two international campuses for study abroad in Ireland and Italy. And there are two summer campuses in Ghana and Tanzania. And I teach in the Rome program as well. I've been a member of Community of Christ and Community Circle since March of 2019. So Gail's got me beat by half a year. and she was a lovely, influential person in my journey as well. And I came from the LDS tradition, which I know many of your listeners are here. And I am just getting ready to finish up my my seminary degree in the Community of Christ Seminary in December. So lots of lovely things happening and really great to be here with you.
You two are both extraordinarily busy people. I am just astounded by how much you get done and what you're doing in your lives. It's just amazing. And I'm so, so happy that I know you and I get to call you friends. So let's jump into it. How did Community Circle get started? And maybe just a little bit, tell us what Community Circle is, because I don't even know if everybody knows. So how did Community Circle get started and what is it?
Well, Community Circle is Community of Christ first officially recognized online congregation. We take up two mission centers, British Isles and Western Europe mission centers. So we kind of have a nice little geographic area. How did it get started? You know, within Community of Christ, all good things start around a table. And Community Circle was no different. You'll know the names L. Ray Henriksen, Rand Irons, Andrew Bolton, Apostle Richard James. Those four people really had a lot of, guidance for us. What happened was that L. Ray had tried to make a go of an online ministry about a year or two before Circle actually was formed. And then that didn't quite work out. And while L. Ray and Rand were at Bolton's, sitting around the table, I should say that first off, Rand had approached Richard James, and Rand and Richard had thought, well, what can we do? Because Rand was wanting to do something, and they decided that maybe the route was an online ministry. And around a table, they formed the idea, Rand, Al Ray, and Andrew, of doing Circle. And the first meeting was, I think the date, it was a Sunday, I think it was November 4th or 5th, I can't be absolutely sure, 2017. There were several people there. It was very, very, very small. A guy by the name of Ken, myself, Rand. There were a few others that I can't right off the top of my head. And Richard was there for support as well. So we started meeting. I had actually come into the meeting because I had met with Joey Williams, just about 2 weeks before in a Starbucks in the Utrecht train station here in the Netherlands. And he said, well, what do you think about trying an online service? And I thought, I don't know, church online. But I went, and I have not missed too many meetings since. So, that's how it started.
So it sounded like it had a really organic start. There's people who wanted to make it happen, and it just ended up happening.
Yep.
Awesome. So how many people attend, and how many countries are represented?
It's kind of funny that Gail says church online, ? Because that's exactly what happened to me too. I had had these two experiences with Community of Christ when I had just started to Seek, and I was on business in the United States. I went to a congregation in Pittsburgh to make sure that Community of Christ, let's just say it this way, that they weren't crazy. And I went and I loved the congregation very much. You know, it was just to go out and check out what I was hoping was true. And it was really, really true. It was lovely. And then went to Houston on another business trip. And I was like, okay, these people are the people I want to be with. So I came back to Europe and was put back in touch with Richard James, our apostle, and with Rand, who Gail was talking about. And they had said that they were starting something that was online. And I also had never, ever thought that that was possible. Like, church online, what's that like, you know? And it ended up being a lovely, lovely place to land. We're a small emerging congregation. I guess that's part of the word emerging. We probably wouldn't have 250 members if we were emerging. And it kind of reminds me in the Doctrine and Covenants in section 163, when there's the verse in 8b that says, do not be unduly concerned with numbers. Be fervent in your witness, passionate in your discipleship, and vigorous in your labor and on behalf of peace and justice. Where two or three such disciples form community, there the Spirit will be and many will come to see. And so that's kind of our real hope. Right in the moment, we have maybe between 8 to 12 people that come on a Sunday, and they come from all over Europe. Once again, we're kind of formed to be a place for people that don't have a church community close to them, or one where they feel comfortable. We want to be, so we kind of expand all geography, as you heard. Not too many congregations expand beyond two mission centers. So we have people that join us from the Netherlands, Italy, Germany, Wales, and the United Kingdom, Sweden, and a couple of other places too. And we actually even have a couple of members of the congregation, people that attend with us from the United States as well, who have come to know us. So this is one of the great things about being an online community, is that there's really not too many borders and there's not too many walls. So we're kind of using that innovation to learn how to be community in this format. We have some members that are lifelong Community of Christ members, And then I'd say the other half of the people that really come to us are who are members and seekers have come from some sort of connection with the LDS Church. Either they were seekers there or they were members like myself and have come and found us in that way.
It sounds like a wonderful group. It sounds like a really close-knit group, which I always appreciate, which I really, really love. And I think that's probably, that probably helps because you can't be in person. It probably helps that, you know, you look forward to seeing your friends and getting to talk to your friends. I really like that a lot. So when you get together, what is a typical service like?
Oh, wow. You know, we can innovate and it's kind of fun doing it. You know, as far as a program, we use PowerPoints, we use Canva to design things. We gather as a group. We will have a chat before the service starts, you know, about 15 minutes before we open up the Zoom room. And we just start chatting. And one of our challenges is that we are multilingual as far as languages that are spoken. So we need to make room for that because we have some Italians that attend that don't speak English. So we give room for that. So we might do slides in both English and the other languages that are represented for that service. We have fun with it. It's a regular service. If you can call anything regular, we might have a spiritual practice. We might have Lectio Divina or Visio Divina or a sermon. It just depends on who is organizing it, what they want, and where they feel the Spirit is breathing on them to move them into preparing this service. Another fun thing that we do with our services is that we have seekers that really want to learn how to prepare a service. And so we're free to walk with the seeker. I'm actually working on right now, which will be our September communion service, working with the seeker on it. And I'll be on holiday in Wales for this service. So we're going to actually come live from a home in Wales where we will run the communion service. And we just are free to explore. We can communicate, we can use Zoom rooms, breakout rooms, any number of options apply here. And I will have to say that Michael does mind-blowing slides on Canva. Totally amazing artistic talent. None of us try to even duplicate it because, you know, we can't. So we just have fun. We're creative. And whatever the Spirit brings that day is what we do.
That sounds pretty wonderful. I love it when congregations are open to where the Spirit leads. I know, like, not so much for me for Zoom church, but church online, but church in person, like it always felt really good when someone would walk in and they needed something different than what had been prepared. And so you can set what you prepared aside and truly be in the presence, be present and be in the moment. I think that's super important. I also remember when I was working in Europe, how much time and effort it takes when it's multilingual. That is a very difficult challenge. And it's not a challenge that can't be overcome. It certainly can, but everyone has to be mindful of that. And it's really important to make sure people don't feel less than because they don't speak a certain language or so on and so forth. So it's something that tricky that you really have to work your way through. So I'm so grateful that you do that. Let's see. So what are some wonderful moments that have happened during Community Circle? Can we hear about some really positive, cool moments?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We both came up with some, so we're both going to share. But, you know, one of the things that's really cool with this little emerging community is that with the onset of the pandemic, we were really set up. I mean, we were already doing things online. We were ready, really ready to be able to help out. In fact, my colleague and sister here online with me, Gail, I want to dote on her. She started helping people throughout the global church to be able to help teach them how to do Zoom and get online. She provided a beautiful ministry to people around the world. And that was just coming from our little community here in Western Europe. And the sacraments, in their online format too. I know that Gail's going to talk about one, but I'm going to talk about another one. And that was seeing people take advantage of them, and especially baptism. One of the really cool things is that our congregation continues to grow and actually have baptisms, which is really lovely. We've already had two this year, and this fall we have another baptism that will be happening as well. So those are fantastic to be able to witness and be part of online. My own baptism happened in Community Circle, and I'll never forget that experience. And having Apostle Richard James come to Rome to physically give that sacrament and be part of that with me, I was able to get the Zoom set up, and my brothers and sisters in Community Circle and people from the global church and my family, everyone could link in and be part of that really special experience for me. And then also just one other that comes to mind, especially when you're talking about multilingual challenges and excitement and testing the waters with it, is that we actually hosted the first service for Sacred Pause in Europe with Harmony for the LGBTQIA plus community. And as after, I think it was the end of 2019, after the Mission Center Conference happened that helped to affirm LGBTQIA marriage and priesthood in Europe for many of our countries, we held a big online celebration with Harmony. It was multilingual, multimedia, worship festivity. It was amazing. And it happened in English, Spanish, French, Italian, German, and Dutch simultaneously together. It was amazing, and it was just so exciting. We were wiping away tears and cheering all in the same moment for that special moment for the church in Europe. So those are two that come to mind for me.
Okay, I'm going to try this and do this without crying, but I probably won't make it. One of the biggest things that we couldn't do in the beginning was to celebrate communion, Lord's Supper. I'm gonna lose it. We went to World Conference. I went as a delegate in 2019, and that was on the discussion. And I spoke to it in a smaller workshop, not on the delegate floor, but it was something that a lot of people didn't understand, is why would you want or need this? I mean, communion is one of the most sacred things we can engage in. For some people, especially who are LDS seekers, who come from that faith, when we are told that we're not worthy to take those emblems of bread and water or juice, it does something to your soul. And so when we were online and the first Sunday would roll around, we couldn't do it. And then it came down, and that first weekend in September, that Sunday was the first time that we, as an online group, could engage in communion. And something marvelous happened that day. We all gathered. Unfortunately, Michael wasn't there at the time. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But Michael wasn't there to participate. One of the songs that was sung, and we each took a verse to sing it, because you can't sing as a group on Zoom. You have to, only one person can sing at a time. For everyone born, a place at the table, you get the rest of it. We went around the group, and Claire and Richard James took the verse where it talks about the couple. I took the verse where it talked about the older with the younger person in hand. This song, I've spoke about it before. This was the reason I knew Community of Christ would accept me as a disabled woman. I knew there was a place at the table for me. After we sang that song, after we went through the process of the invitation, the scripture, the emblems were blessed and we partook. And the joy of that moment, the wonderment of that moment, I will never forget it. It was so powerful. And we realized at the end of the service that Michael had missed out on this. And we wanted Michael to participate in what we'd been in, what we'd had. And I was sitting at my computer here on, it was a Thursday, I believe. I was not doing much. I was working. All of a sudden, my messenger popped up and it was Richard. Scale, can you be here in 30 minutes? I'm going to put together an online communion service for Michael so that he can experience this. And we did. And it was so amazing. And within the next day or two, there were some people who were sick, who needed a sacrament of administration and laying on of hands. And once again, instantly, we gathered in support for those who needed prayer and blessing. Those two events were probably, well, three really, those were probably the most powerful events other than the baptisms that happened. It's amazing what gets transmitted somehow through a Zoom screen. You would not think it could happen until you experience it. It's so powerful.
All of those experiences just sound incredibly wonderful and just sound so meaningful. And I just love how the Holy Spirit can work even through technology, even through thousands and thousands of miles apart. I loved hearing both all of those stories. Thank you.
Can I just add something to that? Just because it brought back those memories, they're alive in my mind. I just remember for like the year plus that Community Circle was around, not a congregation yet, before this was possible, there were lots of times I remember that we were practicing with prayer and kind of offering up the inability to have the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as a fast. So this kind of spiritual practice of waiting, we knew it would come sometime, but we just didn't know when and when we would have that blessing. So, and also the sacrament in that format too, that someone would call me up just a couple of days after everyone was able to have it and was telling me about it, and that we could just do it again. I just loved the spontaneity with that, and that my community loved me enough to just reach out and say, "Hey, Michael, do you want to do that?" And I was like, "Yes, I want to do that." And people came together once again to do that. So I just remember that being such a beautiful blessing.
That is beautiful. And thank you for bringing up the spiritual practice of waiting, because that one's the one I'm 100% the worst at. The worst at waiting. That's a really, that kind of puts it in a whole different perspective. And so can be a really beautiful perspective. Thanks for saying that. So we've heard about some really amazing moments in community circle. Have there been some difficult moments in community circle as well?
There are difficult moments in any community and any organization. But one of the things that I think is difficult for all of us is really a blessing in another sense. The blessing that we keep talking about, that geography doesn't bind us. You know, we're able to be in two mission centers, be in multiple nations of the world. But geography also is a giant challenge to us. I mean, I love Gail and we talk all the time. And when Gail has a challenge in her city in the Netherlands, or I am upset, depressed, and need somebody in Rome, it would involve an international airplane ticket, time, a long train, a long car, maybe all three for us to get together. And so the physical inability to be together is also a challenge for us in this new format of church. And, you know, during the pandemic, maybe it was a little less apparent because no one could go anywhere. So we were really lucky to be able to come together in our online format and on Zoom. But that's kind of where it currently remains for us. You know, we can FaceTime each other, we can Zoom each other, we can send a WhatsApp message, but it's really hard for us to get together. So I think that's one of the big challenges moving forward in this small emerging congregation, is that we'll have to find ways for us to be able to get together in person, and how we can extend that, because there is an essential part of the physicality of community too. And so we have to experiment with that. And that's not only just to have potluck, hang out, hug each other, which we miss and we wish we could do, but in our own exploration of who we are as a church, a global church, and as a community and as a congregation, our faith and the moments of worship together are supposed to propel us into action. And it's hard to act when we can't come together. So what does action look like when you live in a whole bunch of different places? I think the possibilities are exciting of what can emerge from it, and that it will require innovation on our part. But we've already proven that we are innovative, because we've been able to put this together and work through this. But there's still lots to discern and lots of different possibilities for us moving forward. How cool would it be that each of us is making a difference in our own city, in 10 different cities in Europe? That's cool to think about. But how do you make that be effective in putting Jesus's call to action into place? So I think that that's maybe, for me, one of the most difficult parts of our community, is that it's not easy for us to get together, even though we're together online quite often.
Yeah, that would be
I've got to second what Michael just said.
Okay, go ahead, Gail.
I've got to second what Michael just said. I mean, the distance factor is one of our hardest challenges. I often converse with one of our members and how I would love to get on a plane sometime and just go up and give her a hug. And all I can do is reach through the internet and let her know that I'm here, I'm listening. I can't do anything, you know, I can't go up and reach out to you. it is a challenge, and we're having to come up with very creative ways of dealing with it.
So all of you listeners who are hearing this, who have in-person congregations, make sure you go and hug your people and make sure that you are enjoying being with your people. That's really important. And thank you for talking about those difficult moments in Community Circle, because of course that would be one that our name is Community of Christ. And for us, community is a whole bunch of different ways. It's online, it's in person, it's so on and so forth, but it is pretty nice to be able to hug each other and eat each other's food and, you know, be in the presence of each other. So thank you for bringing that up. That's an important part of this. You alluded a little bit to some ministries that you're developing perhaps. And so let's talk a little bit about that. What ministries have you developed and who are they for? What are these ministries?
Oh, we've got several. I'll take some and Michael will take some as well. And two of the ones that are running, one is called Living Spiritual Practices. It's something that evangelist Mike Botts and I run on the first Wednesday of the month. And it focuses on what we call pocket practices. These are spiritual practices that we can get down to 10 minutes that you can take out anywhere, do any place. I could do it sitting on the train. I could do it sitting on the plane. Yes, I'm going to do green eggs and ham here. I can do it when I wake up in the morning. The rule is that the practice has to be 10 minutes or less, and it has to be pocketable, meaning you have to be able to whip out your iPhone or your iPad. You have to be able to be mobile with it. And we run some amazing practices. The one that we used to open it with is called The Nut That God Gave Us. And it is actually an inclusive practice that entails using your eyes, ears, tactile. My brain is going here. What are the five senses? we're talking about the five senses here. And you take a nut and you are going to feel the nut and experience it on multiple levels. And eventually you eat the nut. But in the experience of eating the nut, you're also combining all those other senses together. The reason why I designed it was because I wanted something that was inclusive. I wanted something that a deaf person, a blind person, a person with other disabilities could feel equal in. It can also be done with another food if somebody is allergic to a nut. So we run this once a month. We have guest ministers. Mike Botts and I do a lot. We do a lot of original practices here. We create, but we've had multiple people from Community of Christ come in to present practices. And it's been an amazing process. Janae Grover came in and did a practice around music. Ron Harmon came in and did a practice with a hymn. Charmaine Shamala Smith came in and did a practice that enabled us to get back to sleep when we wake up in the middle of the night. That one's rather useful, I can say. Let's see. We've had other, right off the top of my head, we've had other people come in as well. Chris Judd came in. Katie Harmon McLaughlin came in. So we've had a variety of different people with different backgrounds coming in, offering up the spiritual practices, and they are all pocket practices. We also have another ministry called Mourning the Tradition, which is while LSP is open to anyone on either side of the pond, we do it Wednesdays at 8 European time. Mourning the Tradition is a listening ministry. Most recently, we offered ministry to those who were struggling with Under the Banner, and we had listening sessions for those who dealt with that. We also will have listening centers or a listening session around the LDS General Conference that will be coming up in October. I'm just about to schedule that one. We go in and we listen to people's stories. We allow them just to talk, to express their feelings around their faith journeys, their process of going through things. We don't try to talk. It takes somewhat of a spiritual direction format, but it's not spiritual direction. This is for people anywhere who have an LDS seeker background and who want to come, feel a need to tell their stories. I'm also working on hatching something that will come out in the future. Just know that the circle is going to spring something else for another needed population of people who need some ministry. So that will be announced when I get some legal advice on the situation.
Well, those sound wonderful.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, they sound really, really wonderful. Like some really good stuff happening. Thanks. Michael, what about you?
I was going to just tell you briefly about two other ministries that we've had developed. One's called the Disciples Toolbox. This came about because we were trying to figure out if, not traditional, because nothing we do is really traditional, but the traditional form of worship was the only thing we wanted to offer in our online space. And we had some people that were adverse to that type of worship, but still wanted to be with us in community. Also, the pandemic came and we needed to provide some more opportunities for people to come together, but not necessarily always in a worship way. So we developed this toolbox, the Disciples Toolbox, to be able to have a webinar workshop where people could come in and talk to us and teach us useful things that we could do as disciples and as we built community together. So it happens now every fourth Thursday of the month. And that week, we do not have a worship service. So it takes care of what we do with church on that day. And we again, opened it up to our European church members, but also many, many people from the United States and Canada come as well. I would say between 30 and 40 people come for a Disciples Toolbox, and we record them all, and they're on our Community of Christ Europe YouTube page under the playlist, the Disciples Toolbox. We started out with Larry McGuire back in May of 2020, who did one on how to develop a sermon. We thought that was a really great thing. But we've had all kinds of people. Tony and Charmaine Shavala-Smith have been to talk about responsible use of scripture. Katie Harmon McLaughlin's been in to do spiritual practices. L. Ray Henriksen and Andrew Bolton have talked on reframing the Book of Mormon and Community of Christ, and many others as well. This year, we have been exploring the sacraments. And we've had a great group of presenters from all over the world. We took a little summer break in July and August, and we're back on in September. We have three more sacraments to do. In September, we have Apostle Catherine Mumboy from Zambia, who will be doing the workshop on the Lord's Supper or communion. In October, we have Pastor and 70 John Hamer from Canada, who will come and talk about the blessing of children. And finally, our last one in November will be the Sacrament of Ordination. And evangelist Kirsten Jiska from Norway we'll finish up our series. So we're really excited about this. It's been very successful for us, and we love doing it. You can see all of these ministries too on our website. Our website's pretty easy to remember. It's communitycircleeurope.org. And there you can find links to what we're doing, these videos, and also see what we're doing in the future if you want to join us as well. The other ministry that I'm part of, because I'm in Community Circle, but also the ministry coordinator for Italy. Now, for your listeners, that might sound like a very big title, but I just want to remind everyone, I'm the only member of the church, so there, beggars can't be choosers with World Church. So I am fulfilling that role, and I take it very seriously. I love my Italian seekers, and there are quite a number of them. One is preparing for baptism this fall, but it is Comunità di Cristo, Community of Christ in Italy, and quarterly, we offer a service in the Italian language for our little community together too. So we open up our circle of community circle for people of other languages, as we always already said, and we provide translation in our normal weeks, but we get together in our own language as well once a quarter to be able to be together as an Italian speaking community.
Oh, wow. You two certainly do not let grass grow beneath your feet. You are on the move. All of those things sound really exciting and really cool. And what a lineup for Disciples Toolbox coming up. What a lineup. It's very, very cool.
We're excited.
Yeah. And also, how very European of you to take July and August off. How very European. I appreciate that very much, actually.
We think it's civilized.
It is very civilized. I don't know if all Americans would agree with me, but after I working in Europe for 5 years, I think some of the ways Americans do things are not that civilized. So I think taking July and August off is very, very clever. I guess I just have two more questions for you. The first one is, when did Community Circle become an emerging congregation?
Oh, that was a big event. That was another wonderful thing. We went through a process with this, and Michael will talk about some of this during the next question. So I'll just say that this was a process. We worked for this. We were in discernment around this. We saw the need for it in 2019. We worked through 2020. We worked into 2021. And finally, in December of 2021, we gathered with Joey Williams, who this was pretty much his last act as Mission Center president for Western Europe. He gathered that Sunday, and we had a business meeting to organize. Also present was Richard James. I cannot say enough how much support Richard has given to us around this. He and Joey were amazing to get this done. It was a special service. It was, it was the moment when I got off the call afterwards and just went, I was so, so happy, thrilled, amazed that we had gone through this process of forming with four members what would be an emerging congregation. And we continue, as you've heard, to grow.
Very cool. And yes, it's quite a process. I'm so glad that it happened for you. That makes me really excited for you too. Okay, last question, I guess, which just makes me sad because I love hearing about all of this. So last question. What was the preparation and discernment process like for your leadership team as Community Circle evolved?
Like Gail said, that it was quite the process, and quite the process also in learning a lot of the structure of Community of Christ too, and where we fit in and where we didn't fit in. And so that was kind of an interesting process for all of us. We knew we needed to be a congregation. We just had to figure out how. But the spiritual part of the discernment process had multiple layers to it. And one of the things we did is we decided to do a vision statement was what we decided to do. We hired a woman named Donna Ray Billings, who is not a member of Community of Christ and located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to help us through the visioning process. We thought it would be great to have someone who was not a member of the church who would be able to help us with the language of reaching out to people who don't know our language, you know, our faith language. So she was incredible, really lovely. We met three times over a period of several months as she gave us exercises to help us envision who we were being called to be and give us ways to think about all that we were discerning and put it into less than 25 words. This was very complicated. I still remember one of the really fun exercises, and it actually was the first homework assignment, was that all of our leadership team had to write an article for the Herald. Now, this was not to be published, but this was the assignment. It's April 6, 2030, anniversary of our church and movement, and Community Circle has been chosen to be recognized at World Conference during the service of honor and recognition as the most influential emerging community. The church's international magazine, The Herald, would like to run an article prior to World Conference about your online congregation's recognition. Yes, you get to define most influential. Be as tangible as you can. What has the congregation accomplished? Who has it served? And how has it served them? What impact has it had on the world? How is Community Circle funded? And what is it unique about it? What is notable about the internal workings of Community Circle? How is it managed? What defines its leadership, its culture? Who does Community Circle partner with within its unique style of relating to its parishioners? And what's the next big milestone after 2030? What is the church envisioning? So we were supposed to look from 10 years in the future about what we could maybe see in our own community. It was awesome. And we all four had very, very different articles that we wrote. And we got to share them with one another and pick out things that were touching each of us. This was a humbling experience, but we felt like we really got to a place where we could describe who we wanted to be. Again, this isn't a mission statement, but rather it's a statement of vision for our community. This is what our vision statement is and who we want to be. You can find this on our website. It says, Community Circle is an inclusive and vibrant online Christian community that seeks to provide a safe space to flourish and invites you to be an active creator of justice and peace in the world. So when we finished, we were so excited to turn in what we had come up with as a team over several months to Donna. And she said it made a lot of sense to her as a non-member of our church, and that it was a very clear focus and charter to use to expand our sacred work. That's what she left with us.
Oh, what an amazing exercise. That sounds so cool. I loved hearing that. Thank you so much. What a good idea for congregations to do.
It was fun.
It was what about you?
Gail, did you have something you wanted to add?
Oh, yeah. First off, it was a blast doing that exercise. And before I forget, I will add one other major thing we did. But one of the things we did in preparation also for becoming an online community was we pulled together the wisdom of Andrew Bolton, who had some doings with the First Nations. And we also talked with Art Smith, Apostle Art Smith, about this as well. We used them to bounce off some ideas. I want to publicly thank them for their time and generosity with us. We couldn't have gotten the ball rolling without their heads in the process as well of giving us some feedback of what might or might not work. Now, along with the vision statement, the next thing we did which was very powerful, is that we utilize the services and ministry of evangelist Michael Watts. And Mike came in as an evangelist to give the leadership team to do a blessing with our team to help us to gain some focus, some insight. And it really worked in helping us bond. It was a process just like if you were to go through an evangelist blessing for yourself, where you're asked questions about things that you need to think about. I'm not going to bring up any of the specific questions. I've chosen more to talk about the process of how it bonded us together. Our leadership team are an amazing group of people, and we're all different, come from different backgrounds. But this process served to enable us to connect on the spiritual level, which was needed. And it also opened up thoughts and avenues of thinking. You know, I have that blessing online. I can look at it. I can see where we need to go, where we might be getting lost, where we need to focus. And I've heard about these types of blessings for leadership teams and even congregations, but I've never experienced one. This was powerful. And I'm so glad that we utilized Mike in this process to do this, because it made all the difference in going forward in our path, moving towards becoming an officially recognized emerging congregation.
Well, gosh, it just sounds like you and your leadership team and all the community circle just stay so busy doing amazing and wonderful ministry in Europe. And I'm so grateful for it. We've come close to the end of our podcast though. Is there anything that you want to add, that something I didn't ask that you wanted me to ask, or something that you wanted to say before we close out?
I don't think so. I think that those were the main points. Yeah. I mean, Gail and I could talk forever about the community circle, but we know that that these are the most important things. I guess the thing that I would just maybe end with myself is just that innovation is possible and needed in the church today. We've been challenged through this process of metamorphosis from Prophet President Vizi about starting to think about things in new ways. And the pandemic really forced us to do that in a lot of places too. The church has a lot of financial constraints as well. And so being innovative to be able to reach people is very important. And we hold ourselves up as a model in one sense, not to brag in any kind of way, but just to let people know that it's possible. And real meaningful community can come from these places. Both of us are recent converts in the last 3-4 years to Community of Christ. And had it not been for this type of community, I would have no one. There are no churches in Italy. There are no Community of Christ members except myself here. And so it has been such a blessing to me to be able to have this special group of people from all over Europe that want to be in community together.
Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that. I have lots and lots and lots of thoughts about that innovative process, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. Thank you.
I'd like to add one thing too, and it goes along with that innovative process. I think one of the gifts that Circle can offer to the church as a whole is the process of the innovation and the willingness to experiment not only with within circle, but to try new and wonderful things outside of it. I mean, what does ministry look like? What does walking with seekers look like when we are an online community? That we're not in Utah, we're not sitting down with the seekers face to face. We can't do that. And I'm fortunate in that sometimes seekers are closer than others. And I was privileged to meet one in person. And it was really a weird experience because normally I do it on Zoom. And I'm very glad that this person actually was willing to take the 45-minute car ride to come and meet with me, as I couldn't drive to meet with them. It was powerful. I think that we're going to continue to innovate, to explore, and I suspect that as more people try this, online ministry won't be a rarity. It will become more common. At least that's my hope.
I can't help but agree with you, Gail. Michael and Gail, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you for sharing your wonderful ministry with us and for sharing some pretty awesome ideas and some really exciting things that are coming up. I really appreciate that you've talked with me and told me all about it.
Thanks for having us, Carla.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.